let the church say amen. It won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near, and it is too, drawing near. I want to say good morning to all, and want to thank God for allowing us to be out once again, to be able to worship and call upon His name. So let us call upon His name before we go any further. Our Lord, our God, and our Heavenly Father, it is another morning that You have blessed us to see, and we thank You, O Lord. We thank You for the rest, the sleep, the slumber that we got on last night. And we pray for the waking up and the getting up on this morning. Most of all, Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son to this world to hang, to bleed, and to die on yonder's cross on our behalf. Thank You right now, Heavenly Father, for this meeting that is taking place in this congregation this morning. And we're praying, O Heavenly Father, that You would bless the leadership here as well as their families. Bless those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and be with those who shall take part in the services from hereafter. Thanking You, O Heavenly Father, for all the blessings that You have bestowed upon us. And we're praying for the sick and the shut-in, that they sick may be able to come out once again to be with us before it is too late, O everlastingly too late, O Heavenly Father. We pray for those who have not had the opportunity to stand in the marvelous light, that if it be Thy will, You would give them that opportunity. Thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for all that You have done for us, all that You are currently doing for us, and all that You will continue to do for us. Father in heaven, we ask all of these blessings in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We ask it all. Amen. This morning, from the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapters number 36 and number 37, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. So this morning we want to talk about we have a need of patience. And before you think that I've cracked up, I know you've heard something similar to this before, but I have a reason for redoing this. You may not understand it, but I do have a reason for visiting this subject again. In this ever fast and moving world in which we live, one thing comes to mind as we all have a need for. All of us have one thing that is lacking, and that is patience. In verse number 36 of today's text in which we just read, the Bible says, "For you have need of patience." We can see it every day in society, how that patience is lacking. No one has time to get to know one another. No one cares about one another anymore. And no one seems to have any genuine concern about one another anymore. Patience means that I have the ability to accept that which we cannot change. Endurance to withstand trials and to hold on without becoming angry, or hold on without becoming unglued, you might want to say. It means that I will have to accept and to learn to wait on many things in this life, something many claim that they are unable to do. How many times have you heard? I mean, I know just in the past several weeks, I've talked to a number of people, and the general theme with all of those that I talk to is that I need more patience. I need to do a little bit more and to help myself in the department of waiting and leaning on God to give me the understanding. I need to have a little bit more patience that I can do things in a better manner. When someone tells you we have to wait for tomorrow so that we can complete this matter, no matter how long we stay awake, no matter how we pace up and down at night, we can't rush tomorrow. Time is the only in the hands of God, and the only thing we must learn to do is pray and ask God to allow us to be here tomorrow, if it be His will. When I think about that word patience, I'm led to believe that there are a number of people that really don't comprehend the meaning of patience. You don't understand what patience really means. There are many of us who say, "Oh, I got a lot of patience, but I can't tolerate this and I can't tolerate that." Well, maybe because you don't have as much patience as you think you have. We need to learn patience toward many things, and one thing we need to learn patience toward is God. Oh yes, we need to have patience with God, for God has patience with us. We are a rushing society, meaning we don't feel we should wait for anything or anyone. But when we approach God's throne of grace and ask of Him for something, and we pray on our knees sometimes, many of us feel that as soon as I ask God and get up off my knees, the answer ought to be staring me in the face. Whatever is my problem ought to be gone right away. But it doesn't work like that. We must have patience with God to wait upon Him. We must do the will of God. And the Hebrew writer wrote, he was telling these Christians that the promise they are hoping for will come, but that they must have patience to wait upon it. Look what verse 37 says. For yet in a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Even us as Christians today, we are caught up in the I want it to happen right now syndrome. The attitude of the I can't wait generation. In the Word of God in Matthew chapter 6, the Bible speaks of asking and receiving, about seeking and finding, about knocking and it shall be open unto you. Some think that means what we are asking and seeking, if it doesn't happen right now, then we begin to get into doubt and frustrations. We begin to get disillusioned. Some of us began to turn away from God because He failed to deliver on His Word. Once again, we must remember that we must be patient with God, for He is patient toward us. When we give as the Bible speaks, that does not mean that God is going to give us an instant rebate simply because you gave as you were supposed to. Many folks think if I go in and give what I'm supposed to, God is going to give back to me enough money so that I can pay my bills. Well, He may, but He may not give it to you at this time. But yet, some of us got to remember what it means, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38 says. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. With the same measure you give, it shall be measured unto you. In other words, you give right and God is going to give you back right. But if you don't give right, then that's a whole nother situation. That does not mean necessarily that it would be given back to you right now. God may decide to test us first. He may decide to see if we are patient. Do you recall in James chapter 1 around verse number 3 and 4 where it says, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. To those who are not strong, to those, especially Christians I speak, to those Christians who are not strong in the patience department, it's not easy for us. Sometimes we just don't think we understand. We've got to understand that God is working, but He doesn't work on our time. He works on His time. Sometimes when we are wronged or mistreated by others, and some of us think that God ought to strike them down right now for mistreating me. God ought to take care of them and just wipe them right off the face of this earth. But that's not the way a Christian should be thinking. A Christian must learn that he must have patience. And that God is not going to strike someone down because they mistreated you. God will work with them in His own time. Do you remember in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 19? It teaches us not to go off half-cocked, ready to take revenge. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is, and I will repay, says the Lord. God will take care of vengeance. And I know that some of us, we're just edgy like that. You go to church sometimes, and some Christians are just as edgy at church as they are out of church. You bump into them accidentally, and the first thing they want to know, why you bump into me? Why you stepped on my toe? But you've got to learn to accept that patience comes with prayer and serving the Word of God and learning and doing the Word in the will of God. We must have patience and allow God to work in us. Look at verse number 20 of that same chapter, Romans 12. And verse number 20 of Romans chapter 12. Go over there with me just for a moment, if you will. It says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. Oh, yeah, now that's a tough calling. If he is thirsty, give him water. Give him something to drink. And doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, be patient, show kindness, and let God take care of the rest. That's all I'm saying. Patience. Patience means that I will let God work in my place because I can't do everything by myself. Patience means that I won't get mad at my spouse. Patience means that I won't get mad at my children. Patience means that I'll be able to tolerate whatever it is that they're doing so that I can just let them work it out and let God work in me that I may learn to accept His will. So we need, as Christians, to have patience in God. We need to be patient, have patience toward others. The text gives us several key areas to follow. First, it tells us how that we have need of patience. Then, after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise. It's not unusual for us to be lacking in the patience department. We are in need of patience to deal with each other. How many times have you thought to yourself that someone else needs to have more patience with their spouses, with their children, or others that they deal with? When in fact, we too are most likely guilty of the same thing, not having patience. In Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for when you judge another, you condemn as thyself, for you who pass judgment do the same things. In simple terms, we are able to spot someone else's faults because we too are probably guilty of them just as well. We need to ask God to grant us patience with one another. I've used this example before, but I'm going to use it again. What sense does it make for me as a father to scream at my children about drinking out of the orange juice carton when soon as they put it down, I'm going to pick it up and drink out of it? Or what sense does it make for me to teach my children not to lie when I ask my wife to pick up the phone and call the job and tell them I'm sick? You've been there before. So when you think about it, look at verse number 37 once again. For yet in a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. If we just hold on, all of these old heartaches, all of these trials, and all of these sufferings, if we just hold on for a little while, continue in righteousness, he will not tarry, and when the time has come, he will arrive, and he will not be not 1 minute late. Unfortunately, I can't say that for all of us about being 1 minute or more late. But the Bible says that he will come, and he will not tarry. We need patience toward ourselves. Oh, this is a good area here. We need patience toward ourselves. Now, patience is really a touchy subject. It's touchy because far too many of us want to be told that we can't wait. Far too many of us want to be told that I have patience enough to get by. And you heard that old saying, the patience of Job? Well, most of us don't have it. You've heard people say that I would wait, but I just don't have the time. Well, that means you're short on patience. That means that if you don't have the time, what else can you do but wait? Look at the text. For yet, verse number 36 again, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. How many times have you said to yourself, I'm going to take me a vacation. I'm going to go to Paris, or I'm going to go to London, or I'm going to go to Rome, or wherever it is you decide you want to go, but then these old bodies will tell us, no, you ain't going no place, except maybe to the hospital. Because you start aching and you start feeling all these different pains of life. And then you understand what patient is. I can't do nothing until this pain subsides in me. I can't reach out and go no place until the Lord allows me to go someplace. Patience, church. Patience is a good thing. Patience is not a bad thing. Patience means that ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet in a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Waiting must occur. And certainly we are in no position to rush God. We are in no position to rush God, for the Bible says we have to wait. Jesus is going to come. And how do we know he's going to come? Well, I'll tell you how we can find out that he's going to come. Because in the Bible there are over 300 references to his coming. Over 300 times the Bible speaks of his coming. He that shall come will come tells us that we must wait upon him. And then when you go to Psalms chapter 27, around about verse number 14, the Bible says, wait upon the Lord. Wait, I say, wait upon the Lord, for he shall strengthen our hearts. When you think about the church and all the people in the church, and you think about yourself, how impatient are you? How impatient are you with someone who can't move as fast as you, and you want them to hurry up and get out of your way? How impatient are you when someone wants to get by you and you won't let them by you? Because, see, you're guilty sometimes of the same thing that others are guilty of. But sometimes folk can't help but being a little bit slow. I know I'm slower than I used to be. And you probably are too. When I want to walk, sometimes when I say to myself, I'm going to walk 2 miles today. But my body says, you probably won't walk a half a mile today. Sometimes when I think to myself that I know I'm not what I used to be, first of all. But sometimes I think I can do the same things that I used to do, but my body tells me, oh no, you can't, and no, you won't. I need to have patience. I need to accept the fact that movement is not going like it used to go. I need to accept the fact that my body is not going to be as submissive to me as I want it to be, as it used to be to me. But I've got to learn to deal with that just like you have. There are those who are lacking patience, and they want to know, when will Jesus come? They want to know in advance of his coming. Why? Because they want to be right on time to prepare for his coming. Well, it doesn't work that way. In Matthew chapter 24, we are told that nobody knows the day nor the hour when Jesus will come. It answers that question about when he will come. The fact is that he is coming, and we can be assured of that. When we look at 2 Peter chapter 3 in the verses number 8, the Bible, 8 through verse number 11, the Bible says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day, just one day, church. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Can you imagine that? One day in the Lord's mind is like 1,000 years. Something that none of us will ever see is 1,000 years. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens shall pass away. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the works therein, shall be burned up. Seeing that all these shall dissolve, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? How should you be, church? Well, you need to have patience. You need to have patience. You need to have patience because you can't do anything else but wait. You can't rush God. And most of the time, you can't even rush each other. But when you look at this matter as a whole, you've got to learn, the Bible says that yet in a little while, He that shall come will come and will not tarry. But when you move up to 36 where it says, for ye have need of patience. You've got a need for patience. You've got a need there that needs to be fulfilled. And that need for patience, you've got to ask God if you don't think that you have enough patience. I may not like telling, like you telling me that I'm impatient. But patience, but if I don't have patience, God is going to let me know. And then the unfortunate part of that is that it may be too late. When I think about all of the souls of the Bible, some of those people back in biblical days when they didn't have all the technology and all the fast-moving stuff that we have today. They didn't even have cars to get from place to place. It took them 2 weeks sometime to go 25 or 30 miles because they were walking. And many of us won't walk around the block to the store. I won't. I'll go out and jump in the car and drive that block because I'm too impatient to walk that block. I know I got faults with my patience, but I'm praying every day that my patience will expand. Are you asking God to expand your patience? Are you asking God to give you a little bit more patience? Are you asking God that, are you just telling the Lord, Lord, I can't wait, and I need you to do this right now? God doesn't work like that. God may just say, well, I'm going to wait and let you wait too. And remember what I just told you. One day is like 1,000 years with God. Can you imagine if God put you on hold that long, even knowing that you're not going to live 1,000 years? If he put you on hold for, say, 100 years. I was looking at the news the other night. And I was watching, they were doing how these people live to be 100 years or more. And this doctor down at the University of Chicago goes to work every day and he's 102 years old. Somewhere he had patients along the line. 102 and still going to work. I quit work 10 years ago. I got impatient about a lot of things on the job. But then sickness brought me to a point where I had to stop working. But I wanted to stop working anyway. See, the job can make you say to yourself, this ain't the way I want to live. This ain't the way I want to do. This ain't the way I want to go. But yet you have to have patience because you are not the boss. The boss is the boss. And so one day with God is like 1,000 years. And then we understand that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness. And he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, what does that mean? That means that God would prefer that I repent of my sins. And he would prefer that I work out my own soul salvation. Working out my soul salvation like Philippians chapter 2 tells us to do. All of us have to have that patience with ourselves in order to make sure that we're working out our soul salvation. And when you come to telling somebody that you're impatient, you need to learn how to tell them yourself. You don't just walk up to somebody and stand directly in their face and tell them you don't have enough patience. You need to learn how to talk to folk. You need to learn patience so that you can learn to talk to folk. And I'm not talking about anybody here in the building today, except unless the shoe fits. But I'm simply saying this, that you can tell me pretty much anything you have on your mind. It all depends on what manner you tell me in. And you've got to learn to have patience to tell me in the right manner. You've got to learn to have patience in order... And I know we all use this, and I'm going to use it here. You've got to learn to have patience in order that you don't hurt my feelings. But if you're telling me the truth, my feelings just might have to be hurt. So for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But you see there, church, you need patience first, so that you can, that after... ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Oh yes, church, you've got to have patience. And patience is a good thing. And some of us, we've heard and seen many times where people make reference to the fact of being humble. You've got to eat a slice of humble pie, they say. But I tell you something. The Bible is telling us that we need to have patience. Now, patience. Let me just tell you 1 minute here about patience before I go any further. Patience gives me the opportunity to stand back and hear your side of the conversation. Patience gives me the opportunity to be able to stand and see what you see. Patience gives me the opportunity to see what God wants me to see. And most of all, it'll help me to do the will of God. So when it comes to patience, church, you need to do the will of God. You need patience to do the will of God. And I hope for all those who are impatient, they can learn that God can give patience if we need it, but we've got to ask Him. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. But then, church, sometimes we just don't seem to understand. We just don't seem to get it right. We don't seem to know that what I think is right is not always right in the sight of God. What my mind tells me is the right thing to do is not always what God wants me to do. What I think that I ought to do doesn't make a lot of sense to God all the time. God has already set His plan in motion, and it's written in the Bible. And there are those who think that, well, we ought to just change God's word. We ought to just change, we ought to add this to it because I think this is what He meant. I think this is what He meant when He said what He said, but yet you were not there. How do you know what He meant when you were not there? We've got to go by what the Bible says. And that takes patience. And patience is not, again, not always easy for all of us. But patience can make us better people, better Christians, better God-fearing workers for the Lord. Patience can make us a better husband. Patience can make us a better wife, a better employee, a better parent. All of these things come with patience. You know that when we were younger, we could wait for anything. But as we grow older, our patience grows shorter. That's why I can't understand how sometimes I look on the news and I see people camped out to buy a new cell phone. They stay out overnight or to buy tickets for a concert of such. Or buy wait to be the first one in line to get the park district permit to have a picnic. But those same people don't have the patience to come to hear the word of God for just about an hour. Actually, it's not an hour unless I get wound up. But what all I'm saying is that you've got to have patience to do the will of God that you might receive the promise. And so I ask the question of you this morning. Do you have the patience you need? And as I told you early on, I'm not crazy. I know that you've heard this before. But I had a need to redo it. I did it a little differently, but nevertheless, it was pretty much the same. Patience. And you'll understand one day that without patience, you might be doing yourself an injustice. You might need to understand that the will of God hinges upon, the promise of God hinges upon our need for patience. And when you have done all that you can do, when you have lived all of your life through, when it is time for us to be called home, let me be clear about it, we're going home. We're leaving this world. We don't know when. And I kind of want to be like the man I was telling you about. I kind of like to be around for 100 years or more.
But I don't know if I'll make it that far. But if I don't, the time that I have here, I want to have a little bit more patience with everyone. I wake up at night, in the middle of the night sometimes, and I wonder to myself, am I going to be able to drop off back to sleep? And you know what I have to do? I have to have patience so I can drop off to sleep. I can't force myself to go to sleep. God has to put me to sleep. And then I pray and ask Him before I go, make sure, Lord, that You touch me on my shoulder in the morning. This is Your will. Touch my shoulder. Get me up. I'm counting on it. But when time is come and there is no more time, we want to meet God in peace. Isn't that right, sir? I don't see anyone in the audience who don't want to meet God in peace. If you don't want to see God in peace, raise your hand and we'll help you out the door. But then the question becomes, how do I make sure that I'm wound up right? How do I make sure that I'm on the right road? How do I make sure that I get on the right track? Well, you come to God by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And as we are now into the second week of this new year, we need to make sure that we'll get it right. Remember last week? Yes, I will this year. I will this year. Well, this is the year. This is the Sunday to make that commitment, finalize that commitment. You thought about it for a whole week. Now it's time to finalize. Now it's time to say, Lord, I'm willing, I'm ready, and I know You're able, because with You nothing is impossible. But what if you already done that and you've stayed faithful, you've lived your life up until a certain point and then things went a little bit south on you? Well, you need to ask God to forgive you for whatever your past discretions are. Walk forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. And don't leave me to pray by myself for you. You pray with me now. Pray about your own situation and then ask the church to help you to pray. This is your desire as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear